This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Normally, we issue a warning when introducing something unsuitable for children, but this topic may be best suited for the 8 to 12 set. In fact, it generally reduces them to fits of laughter. We are talking about one of the lowest common denominators of humor, and maybe of humanity itself. Source of cheap laughs in Hollywood comedies, reliable vector for frat boy humor, and of course...
Hey! Time for a few fart jokes! Where would a comedy show be without a few fart jokes?
George Carlin there, a master of the form, carrying on a tradition that has been with us since ancient Sumeria, the fart joke. Well, before you think we've stooped too low, there is a largely unknown history of professional flatulence, a once profitable calling that our guest, Linda Rodriguez-McRobbie, says has been killed by the internet. She wrote about what may be the world's oldest joke for Atlas Obscura. And Linda Rodriguez-McRobbie, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Have people always told flatulence jokes?
I can only imagine that they have. I mean, for as long as people have been farting, it has to have been funny.
What makes them so funny?
I think, and you know, this is the result of weeks of research. I think it's largely about the fact that you can't control them sometimes. They are a reminder that we are all at heart sort of physical beings, that, you know, the loftiest lord and the lowliest maidservant, everybody farts. And I think that a lot of times it's, especially when it's really funny, it's usually when it's sort of puncturing pretension in a way. Those tend to be the kind of funniest jokes when maybe there's a fart at a too solemn occasion. You know, it's also about the timing. So obviously not all farts are funny. You know, say your spouse does it. It's not always that funny. But when it is, it can be really, really funny because everybody does it. It is the lowest common denominator. It's accessible humor for everyone.
Well, you trace the history of those who were hired to do it on cue. So let's class this up a little bit with Roland Le Sassiere, Roland Le Fateur, Roland Le Petour, some aliases for a man named Roland the Farter. Who was he?
I know it sounds so much better in French, doesn't it? He was a court minstrel to the 12th century English king Henry II, we think. To be perfectly honest, the historical record on him isn't entirely clear, but it's evident that he existed. And his job was that every year at Christmas, he performed a dance that ended with one jump, one whistle, and one fart, all executed at the same time. And for this, he was awarded a manor house in Hemingstone, Suffolk, here in England, and more than 100 acres of land. He did pretty well by
his
farting.
Nice work if you can get it.
I mean, especially too by medieval standards, that was about sort of one-fifth of what a knight would have been awarded.
Well, not only English kings employed those with the talent for willful flatulence. How has this played out in Western and non-Western culture?
Well, it seems to me that there's always been somebody who farts for money or farts for performance in almost every culture. You know, predating Roland the Farter, St. Augustine of Hippo wrote about people in the street who would be able to fart at will without stink, he noted, and make it sound almost as if they were singing from their behinds. Now, that was in, I think, the 4th century, so it's, you know, it's clearly been around for quite a long time. In Japan, especially during the Edo period, there was a man who used to perform in Tokyo on the street, and he called himself the Mist-Descending Flower Blossom Man. And in 1774, his big thing was farting. And one of the people who studied him said that it was a modulated aria coming from his bottom. Something along those lines.
Well, okay, so I am clearly, you know, about a middle schooler when it comes to this stuff because I find them so funny. But I admit I was pretty shocked at how many books and histories and research papers there are on the subject once I started looking. There's a kind of a hidden history. So why so obscure? I mean, everybody thinks they're funny, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it. And I mean, I'm also sort of come from the school that believes that everything has a history and everything is interesting in some fashion. So it doesn't surprise me that something as common to everyone as farting would have left an historical trace. And so, you know, going all the way back to the ancient Sumerians, the first funny joke was something about a woman farting in her husband's lap. You know, so mentions of farting in the historical record, mentions of being flatulent, they pop up quite a lot. And so there's actually quite a lot to look at, you know, in culture, in how farting is treated, in how it's made funny. You know, in the medieval culture, for example, there were several plays, and a lot of them that were about farting, these comic plays, tended to kind of hinge upon things like women farting and how funny and unexpected and sort of weird that was. It sometimes would hinge on, say, a sort of higher up person in the feudal society farting and that kind of, you know, taking them down a notch, things like that. You know, so what the fart means almost changes somewhat throughout history, but it is this sort of thread that continues throughout time. So I think, you know, studying it is, you're going to find out a lot about the culture, I think, that it comes from and why they think this is funny.
Well, there's no polite or graceful way to say what we're talking about today, so just going in. Linda Rodriguez-McRobbie is with us. She wrote about the largely undiscussed but well-studied history of Roland Le Fater and other big players in the skill of professional flatulence, trying to toss aside any potty humor to explore a subject considered lowbrow and juvenile, but clearly enjoyed throughout history by kings and saints and aristocrats and, of course, teenage boys. Well, you discovered quite the sensation in France at the turn of the century. Le Petoman, what was his act?
Well, Le Petoman means literally the maniac farter. And he was a man called Joseph Pujol. And he discovered that he had this amazing ability to draw in air through his backside and release it as and when he wanted. This was pretty much the entirety of his show. Joseph Pujol was the subject of major fascination and even a study by a curious physician who published a report on him in 1904 titled, "An Extraordinary Case of Rectal Breathing and of Musical Anus." He performed on the stages of the Moulin Rouge. He had taken his act around France for a bit, and he was a hit. I mean, he would do things like fart out versions of Au Clair de Lune, the Marseillaise. Like he could do impressions. He would do impressions of dressmakers tearing fabric. And, you know, he had named farts like the mother-in-law and the little girl and things like that. And people just loved him. They just thought he was hilarious.
They thought it was hilarious. I mean, did they consider it crude? I mean, was there ever a time when this kind of thing was okay in society?
That's a really good question. I think there's never been a time where everyone thought it was okay. I mean, even, you know, during the medieval era, when it may have been a little bit more common to see farters at court, there were people sort of, you know, for example, John of Salisbury condemned it as totally lowbrow and not worthy of the, you know, higher figures at the time. He just thought it was awful. There's always going to be an element of society who looks down on it, which is probably why it's still funny.
But the tradition carries on. You included one performer who actually made it to Britain's Got Talent in 2009. Now, here's just a little promo video.
Hi, and you are...
Mr. Methane, I am a performing flatulist, and...
Just do it.
OK, certainly. Tonight, ladies...
Mr. Methane on Britain's Got Talent.
Yes.
Who is he?
Oh, he's a really nice man. His name is Paul Oldfield. That's his real name. Professionally, he's known as Mr. Methane, and he has been a performing flatulist since 1991. He got a start at comedy clubs, booked into, you know, gigs on, you know, at like university end of year parties, corporate events, things like that. And he just started to become somewhat more famous. Now, this was all through the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s. So times have changed for him, I think, to a significant degree, and not entirely for the better. But his act is basically very similar to what Lupita Man was doing. You know, he can, and still does, blow out birthday candles with the air that he's able to take into his backside. He can, you know, toot along with songs, and he's a bit old school in that way, I think.
And methane, of course, the British pronunciation of methane, so it all is appropriate. Made a few albums, a few club gigs. But compared to Roland Le Fateur, who was given lands and quite a lot of material wealth, can one still make a living as a flatulist?
Well, unfortunately for Mr. Methane, I think that things aren't going so well. He did very well for the last 25 years. But I think the internet in particular has made things rather difficult for him. I mean, basically, because you can see his act online and you can pretty much get the gist of it within about 3 minutes, you don't really need to go see him live anymore. And he doesn't make any money off of people seeing him online. And to be honest, like as a journalist, I can kind of, you know, as a freelance journalist, I can really relate, because you're putting your product out there online, and views and people seeing it doesn't necessarily translate to material wealth for you. So he's found that it's important for people to see him, but that's not necessarily translating to, you know, more gigs for him, tours, things like that.
Well, last count, 1,123 apps dedicated to flatulence. It was the bread and butter, really, of early app culture, though I did notice it's been banned from the Apple Watch. So, you know, it's something that people enjoy, people listen to. I noticed that you posted this on what Atlas Obscura called No One's Watching Week. How did you get this past your editors?
Yeah. Actually, my editor there had posted a thing on Twitter asking for a post for this. And I was like, I really need to come up with something good for No One's Watching Week. Like, what do I have in my coffers that is, you know, the kind of thing that people might not normally take a chance on, and I just happened upon rolling the farter, so
a lofty pursuit.
It was a gamble that paid off.
Well, Linda Rodriguez McRobbie, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Linda Rodriguez McRobbie wrote The True Story of Roland the Farter and How the Internet Killed Professional Flatulence for Atlas Obscura. There's a link to read it at wordofmouthradio.org, and for the heartier souls, to watch some videos.